There's been a lot of talk on the campaign trail about immigration, so we are going to spend this week looking at our immigration system, starting with the numbers. Mark Rosenblum is Deputy Director of the U.S. Immigration Policy Program at the Migration Policy Institute. He's with us from Washington. Mark, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, and let's start with legal immigration first. Who are the legal immigrants coming into this country? Where are they coming from?
So legal immigrants to the United States come from mostly from Latin America and from Asia. There are a total of about 41 million foreign-born in the United States today, and about two-thirds of them are here legally.
And how does it break down between high-skill and low-skilled workers coming in legally?
So employment-based immigrants who come in as workers actually only account for about a sixth of all legal immigrants. And almost all of the employment-based immigrants are high-skilled. There's very few visas for low-skilled immigrants. And high-skilled immigrants tend to come from Asia, mostly from China and India. But there's some diversity in that high-skilled population also.
And how long do they have to wait to go through the process to come into the U.S. legally?
Well, most employment-based immigrants, high-skilled immigrants, actually enter the country initially either as a student or on a temporary visa. And there aren't tremendous waits to get one of those temporary visas, although there are limits to how many of those visas are offered every year. Where the really long waits exist is to transition from a temporary visa to a permanent visa. And for employment-based immigrants, for high-skilled workers, that wait can be between 6 years up to maybe 10 years.
10 years just to get the visa.
Right. But in many cases, those are people who are in the U.S. waiting to get a permanent visa.
So what are they doing in the meantime? Are they illegal or are they legal while they're waiting?
Well, a lot of the employment-based immigrants enter as a student, and then they may transition from being a student to having what's called an H-1B visa, which is an employment-based high-skilled visa. And so they're working lawfully on a temporary visa for 6 to 10 years while their employer sponsors them for that green card. And many of the people with those temporary visas never do get sponsored. And then some of them do become unauthorized because if their temporary visa runs out or their student visa runs out, there are definitely high-skilled immigrants who overstay their visas and become unauthorized.
You mentioned that the people who are coming in legally right now are generally coming from Asia and Latin America. How has that changed over the years?
Well, that's been the trend since about 1970, but it's a huge change from historical patterns. In 1960, 75% of the foreign-born population was from Europe, and only 12% were from Asia. And today, only 12% are from Europe, and 30% are from Asia, and about 54% from Latin America.
And what does that tell you, just that economic conditions are comparatively better here than in the places where people want to come from, and whereas in Europe, things might be pretty good, so they're not coming here as much?
Well, so economic factors are definitely one big driver of immigration. People move to improve their economic circumstances. They also move to be reunited with families with earlier waves of immigrants. The big change that happened that triggered this transition around 1970 was a legal reform change to U.S. immigration law that was passed in 1965, 50 years ago this year, that opened up legal immigration from Asia, which had previously been very tightly restricted. So the reason we had so few Asian immigrants was that the law forbade most Asian immigrants, and we've seen pretty steady increases since that 1965 legislation.
Let's talk about what's going on illegally.
Well, there are currently about 11 million unauthorized immigrants in the U.S. About a little over half of them are from Mexico. And then another 15% or so are from Central America. So just over 70% are from Mexico and Central America. About 14% are from Asia. It's the next largest region of origin.
And when we say they're coming in illegally, how does that work out? Are they really crossing the border on foot? Are they flying in and overstaying visas?
About half, between half and two-thirds of unauthorized immigrants enter illegally, crossing the border or sneaking through a port of entry, and between a third and half enter legally on a temporary visa and then overstay their visa.
So building a wall would do nothing about those people.
That's right. Building a wall will do nothing about those people, and it wouldn't really address illegal immigration through ports of entry, people who enter with, you know, with a fraudulent document. I mean, you know, one point to bear in mind on that is that people who enter legally and overstay their visas have been, you know, screened and determined to be admissible. So, you know, there's a reason that we should be a little bit more concerned about those who enter illegally, because we don't know anything about them, and we do know something about visa overstayers. But in terms of addressing the large unauthorized population, visa overstayers are a significant part and one that we really haven't focused on either in the debate or in legislative proposals.
When people come into the U.S. illegally, where are they going and how has that changed over the years? It's not just along the border these days. It's not just California and Texas and Arizona. They're making their way much further into the country, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a huge trend that goes back several decades, both for lawful immigrants and for unauthorized immigrants. Traditionally, the overwhelming majority were in about six traditional immigration states: California, Texas, New York, Illinois, Florida, and New Jersey. But today, they're really diffused. There's a significant number of unauthorized immigrants in 41 different states and 137 different counties. And significant numbers in newer immigration states like Georgia has just under 400,000 unauthorized immigrants. North Carolina is a significant state for unauthorized immigration. Arizona has recently gotten a large unauthorized population.
And do we know what's happened with crime in those states with more unauthorized immigrants?
There's a lot of research that looks at criminality among the foreign-born population in general. It's a little bit hard to zero in on the unauthorized population, but there's some research that tries to look at that. What we know from the research is that immigrants commit crimes at lower rates, much lower rates than U.S. natives. Hmm. You know, when you look at arrests, when you look at incarcerations, when you look at incarcerations for serious crimes, on all of those indicators, foreign-born are lower than native-born in terms of their representation. And from what we can tell, unauthorized immigrants probably are even low within the foreign-born population. And one reason for that is that the stakes are very high for especially unauthorized immigrants, because they'll get deported if they commit a crime,
right,
especially a serious crime.
And what about the jobs that they are taking in the U.S.?
Well, the number one job for unauthorized immigrants is construction. About 14% of unauthorized immigrants work in construction, followed by low-skilled manufacturing, services, food services. People think of unauthorized immigrants and immigrants in general working in agriculture. It's actually a small share of the foreign-born population, but that's mostly because there's very few people employed in agriculture. So immigrants make up a large share of the agricultural workforce, but that's a small share of all immigrants.
When you hear politicians say our immigration system is broken, do you agree with that assessment?
Well, there's two ways that it clearly seems to be broken. One is that we spend billions of dollars on immigration enforcement. We spend about $18 billion a year on immigration enforcement, which is more than all other federal criminal law enforcement agencies combined. So we spend more on immigration than on DEA, Secret Service, FBI, the U.S. Marshals combined. Yet despite all that spending, you know, we still have an unauthorized population of about 11 million. So something's not working. And another way in which it's broken is that the waits to get a legal visa for people who are entitled to a visa and who have been approved for a visa, the wait times, you know, I mentioned that it's about a 10-year wait for employment-based visas, but it can be a 25 or 30-year wait for a family-based visa. So between the time that somebody gets approved for a green card and they receive that green card can easily be a 20 or 25 or 30 year wait. So
and yet people are willing to do it in a lot of cases.
Well, I mean, people get on that list. A lot of the unauthorized population includes people who are on that list and who are waiting for their green card. And also we believe a lot of unauthorized immigrants who have already been approved for a green card and may have had their number come up. But once they've gotten here illegally, they can't then redeem their visa, because in order to claim their visa, they would present themselves as being in the U.S. and therefore become inadmissible to get the visa.
How desirable a place is the U.S. now for an immigrant? If you're looking around the world and saying, where can I go to have a better shot at things?
I mean, the U.S. is still, you know, easily the number one destination when you look at absolute numbers. And there are regularly opinion polls conducted in other countries, and you see large numbers of people indicating that they would like to move to the U.S. if they had a chance to. For high-skilled immigrants, the United States is attractive because of our university system and because of our business climate and the opportunities to be entrepreneurial here. And for low-skilled immigrants, it's desirable, partly because we don't do a good job of enforcing worksite laws that make it illegal to hire an unauthorized immigrant. So there are opportunities here.
That's Mark Rosenblum, the deputy director of the U.S. Immigration Policy Program at the Migration Policy Institute. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And the conversation continues online at hereandnow.org. Tomorrow, we'll continue our series on immigration with two people who came here without the proper documents.
You are in constant fear of driving without a license, fear that when you're working, immigration is going to make a raid, that somebody's going to get angry with you and they're going to call immigration on you.
That's tomorrow on Here and Now.